and welcome to this edition of the AskTwitter.net Q&A session. My name is Jay Aaron, and I'm the founder of TwitterCentral.net and a network of Twitter-related websites, including AskTwitter.net, created to help you use Twitter successfully as a highly effective business tool. I'm also the creator of the Twitter Quick Start Guide for Entrepreneurs and Small Businesses, a training designed to help you set up and tweak your Twitter account for maximum business success, and the Twitter Business Strategies Sequential Learning Training and Support Program. Today's featured guest is Chris Voss. Chris is the Twitter and social media expert that other experts call for help. Chris is a highly sought-after speaker and the host of the Chris Voss Show. He's also the CEO of Strategics One Consulting and provides consulting services for businesses, sales, motivation, training, and startups, and especially focuses on social media. So, Chris, I could just listen to you talk all night. I'm wondering if you're willing to move into a question and answer mode for a little while and answer some of the specific questions that have been asked by our listeners.
Sure, that'd be great. Let's help some people.
Okay, great. So I'm going to start with Mari from Beverly Hills. Now, you've answered the first part of this question earlier in the evening, but I'm going to ask it again because I want to give you an opportunity to answer it in the context of this question. And Mari asks, how much does this cost, presumably meaning how much does it cost to use Twitter, and how many hours per day and or how many days per week does it take? So what's the investment of time and energy and effort? And I welcome you to talk about that, Chris, not only from what it is that one would consider doing personally, but how you can use automation and even outsourcing to make Twitter and social media work for you.
The great thing about Twitter is primarily free. It's free to join. It's free to use. It's free to operate. It's free to meet people. There's no cost, of course, to running ads on Twitter. It's not like the radio or TV or print where they're like, if you want to say something for 30 seconds, here's the price. It's virtually free to use. And the thing that I counsel a lot of people is this is the reason to get into it now, because there may be a chance that they start charging for this in the future. In fact, Twitter has a business model they're eventually working on. They're going to roll out, and it's prospective. I don't know that this is a fact, but it's basically implied that they'll probably be charging businesses. So this is the best time to get in, get your feet wet, learn the business, social media, and getting your business selling on it. But it's free. It's really free to join. Now, just like anything in your business, there's a certain amount of sweat equity or work that you're going to have to put into it. If you automate Twitter correctly or semi-automate Twitter correctly, or you hire additional people like SEOs, or you buy strategy programs and e-books that teach you how to develop Twitter, you can save yourself a lot of time and effort. And I really advise to get some extra knowledge. I mean, when you buy a car, you have to learn to drive it first. That's a very important aspect. And there are mistakes you can make that are very irreparable if you don't learn to drive a car correctly. And with most products, there's usually a user manual. You want to get a user manual or somebody to teach you about Twitter that's a person of expertise, develop the thing. A lot of CEOs, a lot of people that run marketing for companies, the marketing concept's much the same. It's just the difference is you're dealing with 140 characters in an advertising space as opposed to a 30-second commercial or a 15-second radio spot. So you've got to learn to, you know, crunch down that marketing that you normally would have more space to do. But it is doable. There are ways of being interesting, entertaining, and attractive to consumers at 140 characters or less. And keep in mind, of course, you're using repetition. So the great thing is it's free. The work, the sweat equity work, isn't, of course, free. That's something that you're going to have to put your time into. I would say that the time is going to be relative to the results that you seek. And it may be relative to the budgets of your company and what your return on investment, of course, is, because we all know the ROI is the most important thing. It's going to take some upfront investment of your time. You're going to have to sit and build systems and lay a groundwork of setting up accounts and being on different social media sites. And most all social media sites, I should say, other than Twitter, are also free, and it's free to run ads on them. So the initial groundwork is the hardest. And usually once you've laid that groundwork, the thing really does begin to take on legs of its own, especially once you start having people love your product and they're retweeting, re-promoting stuff that you're talking about or doing or you're selling online. So that's the other free part about it. I mean, once you get other people promoting you, they just like you for your personality or like you for your online or the positive messages from your company, they find uplifting, their community supports you. So you may have to pay, if you're a bigger company and you've got the budget, I mean, I'd hire a SEO to work for you. The beauty of having the internet and being so international is you can hire people to work for you. I know people that SEO for companies in New York that are in California and vice versa, or the Midwest from places like myself where I can literally go online and manage people's accounts and work their accounts. And I think Jay does this too. You go online and you help them do their tweets, help them monitor their brand, et cetera, et cetera. So you can go down to the smallest level. If you're a small businessman, entrepreneur, maybe a one-man shop, I would say get educated, study Twitter. Don't waste a lot of time finding your way around the dark. It seems like a simple mechanism, but it's not. It's very complex, and you want to make sure you don't make too many mistakes with your brand. A lot of people say that you can really injure your brand. I think if you're a Fortune 500 company, if you pull an ugly, it can get very bad for you. But I think if you're a smaller person and you're not a company that's going to make the New York Times if you pull a snafu, you can make some mistakes and you can kind of learn and grow. But really, you want to jump in, get a strategy that works, that's successful. You don't want to feel around in the dark. And most people's strategy programs are fairly inexpensive for what you'd have to pay. If you have a larger company with a bigger presence, and of course you're probably looking for more sales, then I would say, either hire an internet expert who can monitor your brand. You usually don't have to pay them as much as you would an employee, and most times they can work anywhere in the country or internationally for that matter. And they can help you administer your account. Sometimes they can help you work on a 24-hour basis where maybe you watch your accounts from 8 to 5 and then you want somebody to oversee them in the middle of the night, or be able to monitor what's going on with them. And that gets more expensive, of course, because you've got employees. There are a lot of companies that take the next step up from that, and they hire actual SEOs, people that are monitoring their brand 24/7 sitting in their office, I guess technically playing on the internet all day. Who knew you could get paid for that? And they monitor your brand pretty much. You can do the 9-to-5, or I'm sure there's companies now that have 24/7 teams of people that are constantly using social media and the internet to not only sell products, but to monitor customer satisfaction, run all sorts of different campaigns like focus groups, et cetera, interaction with clients. There's a whole mess of stuff you can do. So it really kind of depends on your budget and how much you really want to take that to the next level, or how much you can really afford to take it to the next level. But for the large part, it's kind of like having a marketing department. You're going to have to pay for the marketing department, and some companies already have one. So it's kind of all-inclusive. You just need to teach your marketing department maybe some new tricks if you're a bigger company. If you're a smaller company, you'll have to teach yourself some new tricks. But whether you're already a marketer if you're a one-person shop, or you're already a marketer if you're a Fortune 500 company, the difference with social media is it's free to run those ads, where normally your marketing company has to go to TV, radio, print, whatever, and it's going to be a cost, per time and cost per ad run, et cetera, et cetera. The other thing I should point out, too, when it comes to the cost of social media, and this is the other thing that I love. I used to hate, we used to do these campaigns where we would, buy the expensive flyer that goes into the newspaper. You have to go print that thing, and it costs a fortune to print, 5 billion of them. And then you got to pay the paper to put them in, and whatever their advertising fee is, and all that good stuff. I remember when we did mailer campaigns, or we did telemarketing with some of our companies in the past, and you'd have to pay for dialers, and you have to pay for phones, you have to pay for, these people come in and do it. And I mean, it's just insane what it would cost just for you to set up and be able to start running ads, promoting yourself. The great thing about social media is the paper effect is gone. It's pretty, you're typing words into space, which really don't cost any money. So that element's gone from a cost-effective standpoint where, you know, you don't have to look at your ad campaign and go, God, can we really afford to run 10,000 flyers and then pay people to do them, and are we really going to get a return on investment of this ad? And so you can literally, I mean, what you type is free. And so that's just a tremendous opportunity. Did I answer that question, Sarah?
Yes, and you covered the gambit. Now, a lot of the people that are listening to our calls are going to be entrepreneurs, people on their own, wanting to work. And I'll just let you know that when I began using Twitter back in January of this year, I knew absolutely nothing about it. And so for the first few weeks, that was probably when I put the most amount of time into Twitter, and I put as much as an hour a day, and I would often do that hour in one chunk. And I would be learning, like Chris is talking about, and I would be watching people's tweets, and I would be, you know, looking at tools that I could use, and I might send out, you know, one or two tweets during that whole hour. I'd be spending the whole hour kind of getting the lay of the land. Nowadays, I think that I probably would average as much as a half an hour a day on Twitter, but I'm seldom on Twitter for a half an hour at a time, because I know that all of the people who I want to be following in terms of reading their tweets are not all on at the same time. And also that because I know that people who are listening to what I have to say and reading my tweet stream aren't all on at the same time. So on many days, I'm on in the morning for, you know, up to 10 minutes, and then sometime in the afternoon for 10 minutes, and then sometime in the evening for 10 minutes. That seems to work well for me, and it keeps my tweet count up, and I get to read mostly I do that for my own reasons, although I'm sure I benefit by who's on and watching my tweet stream, that often I'm getting more benefit out of it by what I'm seeing come across the tweet stream at those different times of the day, which is why I go on, is to see what's coming across my field of view. So I'd venture to say that we're not talking about an overwhelming amount of time either to learn in the beginning or to maintain, and then of course any automation that you do is going to just allow your Twitter account to be sending out tweets when you're sleeping. So that's a way cool thing about that.
Yeah, the automation is key too. When you think about running a lot of ads, the automation is really key. You realize once it's programmed in, it runs itself, and you don't have to deal with it.
And that's one thing that Chris has an excellent, excellent training about. You're going to want to check that out. Again, visit twittercentral.net and click on the link. It'll take you right to Chris's training product. All right, so this is a question that I particularly like, Chris, because I've been honored for the past few years to be one of Alex Mendozian's hand-picked coaches for his Teleseminar Secrets course. And Jacqueline has asked, how do I get people on to a free teleseminar from Twitter? I have about 3,500 followers, and I want to know how to get them on to a free teleseminar. Her niche happens to be parenting, but the basic question would be important for anyone, because like Twitter and social media, I believe, should be obvious from tonight, and this call that we're on, for those of you who are listening, and especially for that reason later to the recording, I believe that teleseminars are an essential part of any business's strategy, and especially because most part teleseminars are free as well. So how do you use Twitter to get somebody onto a teleseminar? Do you have an answer for that? And if not, I do.
How do I get some? I'm sorry, I missed the question there, James.
How do you get Twitter followers? Right. What would you do to get Twitter followers to come on to a teleseminar, a free teleseminar?
Well, advertise is much like you do for this seminar webinar that you do. Advertising is a key thing. Offering free information, of course. It's much the same concept that you use, like a lot of people have used in the past with seminars and conferences. You usually do a free one so you can track the most amount of people you possibly can. And then from there, you introduce insightful information that makes people want to be induced to learn more and pay for the advanced knowledge that you're going to give them based upon what they've experienced in the free conference. And so you're just basically taking that element, of course, out of the hotel and putting it online and on the internet, where you can meet with people just like we're doing here, gotomeeting.com, and you can literally host webinars at all hours of the day. Like I said, I think you probably agree with me there, Jay. You give some stuff away for free. You show people that you're an expert, or that you have information that will really help enhance the quality of their lives with your product or service, and then you take it from there.
Okay, good. And let me answer this too, to add on to some things from a few different perspectives. Now, I hope I'm not talking down in any way to any people who might ask a question this way. But the question was asked, how do I get people onto a free teleseminar? And one of the things that, Chris, you've been talking about all night long is that you can't get or make people do anything. They're going to do that because they know you, because they like you, because they trust you, because they sense that what you're doing, that you're offering, is a good investment of their time or their energy or their money or all three. And so the first thing that you have to do is build a relationship with them such that they have a willingness to interact with you in ways that aren't just social or social media. And also, you have to build relationships with other people who are your raving fans, some of them unpaid and some of them paid for their referrals via affiliate fees, who are willing to promote what it is that you're doing. And then you need to make sure that what you're asking people to do or encouraging or them to do has a high-value component in it and is in harmony with what it is that they want right now. So to answer Jacqueline specifically, Jacqueline, first of all, those 3,500 followers, hopefully many of them are interested in parenting, and that's why they are following you. Now, the reason that they would be doing that is because the primary messages in your tweets, whether they're humorous, whether they're inspirational, motivational, informational, or promotional, are speaking to something to people about parenting. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't tell a joke on occasion that is about cows and chickens, of course. Of course you can do that. But the more that your tweet stream reflects that it would be of value to people of interest who are interested in parenting, the more likely that you're going to attract people who are interested in parenting to be your followers. And then what you're going to do, of course, is you're going to use Twitter to send them via a link to your registration page, as we did for this call, where they can learn more about that teleseminar and decide whether they're going to attend, and then register or get the information for the teleseminar call at that page. So Twitter is the means by which you build the relationship that allows people to desire to get what you have to offer or to promote what you have to offer to their followers, and then you simply let people know, hey, I've got an opportunity for you, and then let people know how they can find the information about that, or enroll or register or whatever they need to do, or just show up. So, that, I think that builds a little bit about on what Chris said earlier about that. Anything else you want to say about that, Chris?
I think we got it. That's great.
Okay, so let's answer these next ones as quickly as possible. Some of them are kind of technical. Sherry, or Cherie, C-H-E-R-I, asks, how do you improve your chances of obtaining a verified account designation from the powers that be at Twitter? So you want to talk about verified accounts really quickly and who gets to have them and who needs to have them and how you get one. And let's not spend a great deal of time on this because it's a technical question that very few of our listeners will have, but it'll be interesting to know.
Usually for verified users, you want to have that for your major stars or celebrities. A lot of people will set up, you know, fake accounts using stars or celebrities' names. So, number one, they can draw big users to them and sell them. Some people write some ugly things about the star and hurt their PR basis. And this actually brings up a topic that's a side of this, where it's important to put your company on social media so that some people don't do it. Recently, there's been some names in the very big names of companies that had fake websites or fake Twitter accounts, fake Facebook accounts, et cetera, said about the company and started misaligning their PR, and they weren't even representing the company. So the verified accounts are, of course, done through Twitter. I don't think anybody can get one. I don't think they really care if I call and ask for one. I think they're more concerned about very public figures that are open to having people misrepresent or try and dupe people by claiming to be them and creating fake accounts. And I believe you just apply to Twitter. I'm not sure the exact mechanism, but there's a whole lot of people at Twitter, at Delbius, at Charles Online, at Lukester, and if you Twitter them, they can get you the information, I'm sure, to verify who you are. I don't think I'd worry about it if you're not a celebrity, if you're not in the public eye or stream. But definitely reserving your name online, your personal name, and or your business name is very important, even if you're just going to park it for a while.
All right, very good. So let's move on here. This is a good one that's come in from our good friend Karen, who on Twitter is at Karen Brody, K-A-R-E-N-B-R-O-D-Y. And Karen says, how can I test if my Twitter presence is having a positive impact?
The great thing about your Twitter presence having a positive impact is the response is very immediate. I mean, you put out a tweet or maybe a sales pitch of your product, and people immediately do what's called RTing or retweeting your product, which is basically like an endorsement or retweeting the information that you're giving out. And it's immediate. I mean, I can put out just about anything, and people will immediately retweet it and promote it, and some people will write you back. I mean, within seconds, it's very immediate. When you go in, and there are services they have that track the links that you put in your advertising to see how many people clicked on that link and went to your website, your blog, or whatever your product or services. And I think most times no sooner do you send that advertisement out across Twitter or social media, within literally 30 seconds to a minute, you can go to your shortening service, your tracking service, and you can see that 19, 20, 30, 50 people click that link just within the first minute. And so it's instant response. The other thing is people tend to talk to you more on social media. They feel very safe in their homes. And so there's kind of a little wall that's brought down that's not necessarily the same as how people talk to you or your product or your company maybe in public. And so what's really great is people will have a little bit more open conversation with you. Now, sometimes it can be negative, but a lot of times it's usually positive. And people will say stuff. Hey, I'm really great here online. I've been buying your product, or maybe you have a dry cleaner. Say, I've been going to your dry cleaners for 5 years. I'm a loyal customer. It's really great that I can connect with you a little bit more deeper, and I can feel like I know you more, and we're going to generate some product loyalty there, or some brand loyalty, and you're going to get that feedback. You're going to get very instant results, and that's the great thing I love about social media, those instant responses. People are going to tell you how you're doing. They're going to tell you if you're doing bad or if you're doing good. Right, Jake?
Absolutely. And let me bring a couple of things into this that are repetitions of some of the things that you've said before. And one of the things that you said is that, you know, at any given moment, only a small number of your followers are following your tweet stream. Because, you know, at any given moment, only a certain number of them are on the web. And depending on what tools they're using or how they're seeing tweets come across their you know, tweet stream so that they can see what's being written, they may or may not see or pay attention to what it is that you've written. So that's why you've said two things that are really important. One is consistency and semi-automation, so that you can be tweeting at hours when you're not online, but the automated service can be doing that for you. And people who are on at that time can be seeing your tweets, even though you're not there. And the second thing is numbers. Now, there's, you know, always a conversation out there about, you know, is it better to have high-quality followers or a large number of followers? And the answer is that when it comes to Twitter, you want a large number of high-quality followers. So you don't want to just build your Twitter followers made up of anybody in the whole universe, although eventually somebody who wouldn't necessarily be interested in what you're tweeting may find something that you're tweeting of value. You want to try and get people who, like in Jacqueline's case, is interested in parenting. You want to have a lot of your Twitter followers comprised of people who are already interested in parenting. On the other hand, if you only have 100 Twitter followers, and you send out a tweet, then your Twitter impact is going to be low by virtue of the fact that of those 100, how many of them are online at that time and how many of them are actually going to see the tweet that you've sent out. So, you know, it can be the best tweet in the world, but if nobody sees it, you know, it's like that tree falling in the forest and whether it makes a sound or not. So, you know, Chris, you've just really pointed out you need to be consistent, which we may or may not choose automation. And if you do, you're going to choose it wisely and use it strategically. And you've got to build up numbers, and you've got to have quality followers, people who are interested in what your core message is. So you have to be clear about your core message, and then you have to go after building a lot of followers, as many as possible, who are interested in that core message. And when you work on those things, then when you send out a tweet, if 100 of your followers are online at that time and 10 of them see it, then 5 of them may respond to it, and that you could infer from that you were actually having a pretty good impact. So anything more you want to say about that?
I think we got it.
Okay, good. Jackie asks, what is the best way to get the word about helping a cause?
Build a Twitter account for the cause and then run ads the same way. And then I would have a blog, too, about the cause. I'm sure that you probably would. But if you don't, I'd have a blog that talks about the aspects of the cause. Once again, it's not enough just to have a sales site or a charity site on the website. You've got to add more dimension to that where it breaks down to the people and the quality. I mean, I think you'll see now that even like the Red Cross and different charities have things that, you know, show their charity or their cause in action, what people are doing. You know, there's been a lot of different things with causes and charities where there's been some question as to where they spend their money or how much they spend their money on advertising as opposed to the cause. And so the great thing for a cause or charity is you've got a tremendous element of social media because it is largely free, and then the sweat equity you've got to put into it and maybe paying somebody to do some of the work. But a blog is a great way to get the advertisements out. Building an opt-in list, again, having an opt-in list on your blog and website so that even when you get people to go there, you can put people on a newsletter and say, hey, here's the latest thing going on with our charity or our cause, and come out this weekend or donate some money to this thing, and that way you can promote it. And once again, it's just like advertising. I mean, you're running ads for your cause and what you think is important. One of my favorite charities is the ASPCA. I'm a big, I'm not a big donor to them. I don't. I wish I was. But I make sure and send them money every month. And one of the things that I do, and this is part of my enhancing my community that has nothing to do with making me money, I do have two dogs, which are very important to me, but I actually run ads with my other ads that ask people to send money to the ASPCA or a charity of their choice. I don't like people that just say, hey, you need to buy my charity. I want you to be charitable, and if you want to send it to whatever charity you like, that's great. And so I run a consistent ad for that. And on top of that, even on my blog, I wrote a piece about how animals and dogs and relationships and protecting things that can't fight for themselves sometimes or can't survive in certain environments alone, and how that's important. And there's, of course, an ad piece to send people to the ASPCA, and encourage any of you that are listening today to donate to your favorite charity if you would. Remember, there's a lot less money out there, and sometimes the best time to give is when you can hardly afford it. That's usually the best time to give. But if you've got a charity, advertise it just like you would a business.
And let me see if I can clarify for our listeners. You talk about writing an ad and running an ad on Twitter. So, Chris, tell me if I have this correctly. There are many different kinds of tweets, of course. There are humorous tweets. There are informational tweets, inspirational tweets, motivational tweets. There's a wide range of tweets that people can write about, the kinds of tweets. One of them is what you're calling an ad. And in order for it to be called an ad, from what I've heard of what you're talking about tonight, what I've seen, an ad in those 140 characters, whatever else it has in it, it has a specific call to action and a link to somewhere else that's not Twitter. And that might be, as Chris has just said, for the cause, it might be to the website, to the cause's website, or the cause's blog, if those are two different locations, and maybe the same, of course. It might be to a place where you could make a donation to that cause. It might be to a video on YouTube that was taken at a cause event. But in order for it to be considered an ad, it has to have a specific call to action, which means do this. And the do this is, click the link. And then it has to have a link to someplace else, which is the action that people are going to take on Twitter. They're not going to make the donation on Twitter, because you can't make donations on Twitter. They're not going to buy a product on Twitter, because there's no place to promote or sell a product on Twitter. All of those things have to happen elsewhere. So the advertising or promotional or marketing tweet, whatever you want to call it, has a call to action. It tells the reader of the tweet, if you want to learn more, or if you want to make a donation, or please make a donation, or please support this cause, or please consider attending this teleseminar, and then there's a link that they go to that's going to take them to the next place that you want them to be, wherever that is, whether it's the registration page, the donation page, the blog page, the website page, the video page, whatever it is, it's going to go from Twitter to someplace else, and that's the ad tweet. Is that an accurate description, Chris? Okay, good.
Advertising and promotion, same thing.
Yeah. All right. So we're well into this call. Do we have another, few minutes here, Chris? Well, I've got so many questions,
sure,
that I don't want to overwhelm our listeners here. All right, let's pick another one. In this same theme, and we may be repeating ourselves, but I really want to just answer a specific question for Pete. Because he wants an answer. He may be listening to all of this, and many people may be in there going, okay, I get the general idea, but let's bring it home here. Pete says, well, how do I use Twitter for my restaurant? And, of course, you mentioned dry cleaners, so we're talking about any retail, offline, brick-and-mortar business that people need to come into in order for the business owner to get the advantage of their business and their dollars spent at their establishment. So can you speak to some uses of Twitter or social media helping a restaurant or another type of brick and mortar business?
Mm-hmm. One of the three core components of a good strategy for social media right now is to deal with three core main power players. You want to have a Twitter page, of course, for your restaurant. You want to have a Facebook fan page for your restaurant. And then, of course, you want to be blasting out to the other social media things that are out there. Now, what I would do if you own a restaurant is, of course, have the restaurant online. And there's actually coupons you can get. This is another beautiful thing. You could use these coupons for your charity, too. Maybe you want to have you can get in this event for a limited cost. But there's actually coupons that you can make online. They're very virtual. You don't have to pay the cost of, you know, what you probably do now to run coupons, run them in the paper or in some sort of media. And you can make virtual coupons. And you can run an ad that says, hey, for $25 or 20% or buy one, get one free meal for our restaurant, Tuesdays only, you know, click this link. And it'll go to a link that will give them a printable coupon, or maybe you can just tell people. There's a lot of companies that do that now. I'm trying to think of the companies that are doing that. I believe it's Peter Piper Pizza or one of the big pizza chains. There's also Naked Pizza that used restaurant advertising very well, and they're very successful and very happy, where they just say, hey, if you mention the Twitter account or anything like that, when you come in, you're going to get 10% off your order. Now, of course, you've got to build followers. That's the most important thing. You can't just get a bunch of followers and hope that they buy your product. You've got to keep adding them. There are a lot of people that fall away from Twitter. And, of course, there are people that initially maybe listen to you, and if you don't capture their interest, they tend to move on or maybe not pay much attention to. So just like advertising, you're jumping up and down. Now, if you own a local restaurant, of course, targeting to all of Twitter may not be the smartest idea. There are local programs that are profiled in my Twitter app series that are free. You can just go see them on the Chris Voss Show, and I think I preview three every day. I think on one of the episodes there's Nearby Tweets. There's also Local Twitter. If you own an iPhone, I can't remember the name of the iPhone app, but there's an iPhone app that will let you home in on the people that are in your local area. And then if you're using automated systems to gather your followers or pinpoint your followers, you can find people in all sorts of different locales or all sorts of different searchability. You can search their city, maybe their interests. Maybe if you're an Italian restaurant, you can target people that maybe like Italian food or put that in their bio. And so you can promote it that way. You can do Twit coupons online to enhance people to come in. And, of course, talk about your product. And maybe, I don't know if this gentleman is maybe a chef, per se, or if he just owns a restaurant, but I would say that if you're a chef, you should even maybe have your own Twitter account where you talk about the techniques of a chef and what you've learned. I mean, given there's a reason if you're a business that people are paying you money, it's because they believe in what you do or they think they believe in what you do, and hopefully they keep coming back and you've convinced them that you know what you're doing. You are a professional in your field. The worst thing you can do is you can be the smartest person in the world, but if you don't tell anybody, no one will know. So if you're a chef and you feel that what you know is great and it helps people and people get a wonderful experience at your restaurant, you want to blog about that. You want to talk about it. Maybe you want to talk about the newest and latest dish, like we just put up this beautiful pork chop, whatever, and you know, we have this, you know, this special sauce that we use. You know, I'm not good at restaurant technology, obviously. Maybe you can put up specials that you're running on the menu. Have your menu online. If you go to most restaurant sites, have your menu online. Probably one of the best keys I can give you, I learned this a long time ago in business, it's called creative swiping, which basically means steal your competitors' ideas. Only it's all free, so don't go stealing anything that you shouldn't. But go to other people's websites. Go on to Twitter and find other competitors that are against you in the restaurant field or whatever your given business is. Watch what they're doing. Model their successful things that they're doing, and then just change it. Make it your own. And look at people's blogs and websites that own restaurants. A lot more restaurants, of course, have interactive online things, and that's the real key. You want to have your menu on there. Get people enticed for what's going on. But you know what I do? I blog about, hey, you know what? I I was at the restaurant today. I had this beautiful noodles and the sauce, and it's hand prepared, and it's been several hours, steeping, and whatever words you want to use there. Somebody's probably better at restaurant terminology than I am, but make it very what's the word I'm looking for? Soluble. Make it so that when I read that thing, I'm going to be hungry. I'm going to go, hey, wow, that sounds like not only an enriching experience to go get some noodles, but keep in mind, people are about what they're going to experience, what they're going to feel. I don't buy noodles to eat them. You don't buy ice cream because you really want a whole lot of sugar in your system and maybe you want to get fat or clog up your arteries. You don't eat sugar for that purpose. You eat sugar because, man, when you get that sweet taste in your mouth and you salivate and it goes down and you get a little bit of maybe a sugar high, and it just tastes so good. It's maybe a good comfort food if you're watching a movie or whatever the case may be. With your restaurant, talk about, hey, when you come in, not only do we have great food, but we have this ambience, and the people here are nice. Maybe put some of your key people online. Maybe put a cute waitress that you've had around for a while, and maybe she's your greeter and seater. She's kind of the forefront of your thing. Put her on there. I mean, you put some cute girl on Twitter and help her Twitter, hey, come see me. Get some of your promotional people on Twitter or Facebook where they're promoting, hey, come by and see the restaurant. Sell the ambience of your restaurant. Don't just sell, whatever your product is. Say, hey, when you come, you're going to have a great experience. We want to welcome you into our restaurant.
Well, those are some fabulous ideas. Once again, I'm so glad we're recording this so that we can listen to it again and again, and people can really let these ideas sink in for them. Now, Chris, I just want to acknowledge that a number of other people have asked very similar questions. I'm going to read those questions so that people can get a sense that in the kinds of questions that are being asked, that although you haven't spoken directly to these questions, that the answers are in this amazing session that we're having, that we're recording right now. And if there's anything in particular after I say these two questions that you want to add on, then we can do that. Let's see, one of our wonderful friends and followers, Letitia Huber from way up there in the Northwest country, says, what are the three most important things that I must do to best tweet my service / membership, which is found at porttownsendpeeps.com for Port Townsend, that wonderful little community up there in Washington, porttownsendpeeps, PEEPS.com. There's a membership site for people in the local community there to interact with one another and to provide an online presence for people to have additional ways to promote themselves and their local businesses and such. And Franklin says, we don't do any internet business at all. We're in the service industry and do repair on electrical systems locally. Our only interest in the internet is to have people look for technical help and call us because they found our page with the phone number. Please suggest how we can use Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and other social networking tools to increase our business. And you've just spoken a great deal about that in talking about cause marketing and in talking about marketing a restaurant. Franklin, I hope that when you're listening to this, you get the idea that you've got to be on the internet right now. Your customers are there. Your prior customers are there. They may be talking about you and talking about you in ways that you either don't appreciate or can't capitalize on because they're saying good things, but people can't find you. Your competitors are there, and they're either taking away your business or they're getting new business that you're not getting because you're not there. And if you just follow some of the advice that Chris has given about how to use these different social media, just listen to the answer that he just gave to people about marketing a cause or marketing a restaurant and just adapt it for what you do to market your business on the web. And let's see here. Is there anybody else? Somebody was asking about using the social media and Twitter for online businesses and somebody else for network marketing businesses. The answer is pretty much the same. Yes, Chris.
I'm probably going to say what you're about to say, actually. Whether it's a service or a business, put your professional expertise online and talk about it. Talk about, if you're just a service, talk about what the experience they're going to have in working with you, and, of course, the quality of life they're going to lead in using your service.
Yes, and in addition, one of the things that you've said, Chris, is you've said offer coupons, discount coupons to get people to come in, and that's a great strategy. Another strategy that you might wish to have is that you might wish to find who in your community of existing customers or clients or patients or whatever it is, whatever business that you're in, uses your services and has used it and is happy with that, and then give them an incentive to say whatever they want about your business in the form of, you know, hey, if I read a tweet from you about my business, I'll give you an extra discount on your next time in. Now, you can't tell people what to say, and like Chris said, you know, the car company that gave out 100 cars to the 100 biggest bloggers on the internet and said, say anything you wish. You have to have that kind of attitude, knowing that your product or service is going to be, you know, people are going to say good things about it because that's the kind of service and that's the kind of product they get from you. All right, so let's see here. Dino asks, I want to start a daily, a paid daily newsletter / club in my niche. Can Twitter help me get subscribers? The answer is the same. You do the same techniques for promoting a subscribership to a paid newsletter, a paid membership, a paid club, as you do to selling any other product or service. And it's about revealing yourself, your personality, your expertise, and sharing about the benefits and advantages that people will receive when they participate in it, and letting your fans talk about it in a meaningful way so that other people will want to have the same experience they have, and then having your affiliates and promoters talk about it in ways that will encourage their subscribers to want to be part of your services as well. All right, so let's have just one more question here. And I'm going to choose, I'll choose Patsy's here, another good friend of ours, Patsy Bella. Patsy says, I hate having to go through hundreds of useless information tweets for perhaps one gem or one person who is, and she uses the word informative, but I think she means that it's the specifically what she wants to be reading. And then she says, adds on, although I'm sure that they're supposed to be useful, all of the at signs and other symbols make a message, if there is a message, difficult to read. And now, of course, she said the same things are being carried across to Facebook. So for somebody online, either because they want to build followers or because they want to research what their next product might be, based on what people are talking about, or they may just want to find information out about something that they're specifically interested in. And there's a lot of people tweeting out there, and there's a lot of people saying stuff. Chris, do you have suggestions for how people can sort through all that clutter and at least get it down to a place where they might be able to find the gems among the pertinent information, rather than just looking for the pertinent information among all of the other stuff?
Sure thing. The awesome thing about Twitter is they made it so that all sorts of people and applications can be built to interact with Twitter. Twitter is actually a very simple mechanism in and of itself. It's probably just more busy in the fact of how popular it is and messages that run across it. But the beautiful thing is these outside third parties have developed systems where you can pinpoint people down to zip codes, you can pin people down to what they do. There's a bunch of cool stuff that's recently come out that you can actually go to your city and see the trending topics of what's popular. You can search for different items of what you want to see. Like, for example, and it interacts with Google Maps, which is really beautiful. You actually go on Google Maps, you can see some of the topics you're looking for, where they're very popular. You can go down, you can literally drill down through that information to individual tweeting people. You can follow those people, start communicating with them, and you can really develop stuff to a local level. So it's pretty amazing. There's if you consult with somebody to teach you how to get to the right information sources, there's different automated systems that can help you target certain people. The other day I went in and retargeted a group of CEOs the other day that had certain things in their bios, and I figured those might be interesting people to listen to. So my automation system went in, grabbed all those people, pulled them out, and automatically followed them for me. And so I, you know, I'd say do that, but it's just amazing what's out there. I mean, there's almost an overwhelming amount of search mechanisms that you can do to really get your conversation or really tag into those people that you maybe want to find interesting and read about. And that's the real key to Twitter. The worst thing you can do is sit on Twitter and read the all tweets or the, you know, just the whole stream of stuff that's out there. The best thing to do is to use your reply or your mentions box to be able to see what's going on, see what conversations you're having. Of course, your DM is very direct, personal messages. But target who you want to find, build that community, and usually you'll find that you'll either attract like people that are like that, or if you find somebody who's interesting and you find interesting in their quality of things, usually you'll find that people that maybe follow them or people that really like them are interesting people too. And it's networking. It's networking in a very basic sense. You can even just simply go onto Twitter and do a search for your local community and then find people that are maybe interested in their local community, or maybe you have a cause or maybe a thing you like, you have a hobby. You know, that's probably even a, you know, if you like railroad cars and model training, I'm sure if you search Twitter or use some sort of thing, you'll find a group of people that are maybe interested in that. So,
yeah, so quite simply, specifically the logistics of this are that you can either go to search.twitter.com, which is the dedicated search page for Twitter, or you can just log into your own Twitter page and use the search box that's on the right-hand column there. You can also use desktop applications. I don't promote any specific one over the other one. I do let people know that I happen to use TweetDeck the most, and I've tried a bunch of them out. For some reason, this is the one that I like best, in part because under each column of the ads and the direct messages, the direct messages, the all followers columns, there is a search feature, so you can search in the immediate stream, and also you can set up a dedicated search column that will do nothing but search on whatever word or phrase you've entered into the search criteria for that particular column, and you can have as many of those as you want or as few of them, and you can put one up for a little while and take it down. And Chris, do you want to mention any? Do you have a specific URL of one of the geo-targeting search sites on the web? Do you remember, Chris?
If you give me just a couple minutes, let's go to the next topic, and I'll find one that's very interesting that I recently profiled.
Okay, great. Well, while we're doing this, because I'm so honored, Chris. And for those of you listening, Chris doesn't do a great many interviews of this sort, and I'm just blown away, Chris, that you've spent 2 hours with me and with the people who are listening now and the people who will be listening to the recording in the future. I'm just blown away. So while you're looking for that, and before we end the call, rather than asking more questions, I think we're going to end that part of the call here because we're at the two-hour mark for our call. But while you're looking, I'll let people know that if anything that Chris has shared with you tonight has brought up your desire to work with Chris personally for your business, your online or offline business, large or small, then the way to find out more about Chris's consulting and coaching services or his account setup and management services is to visit his website at strategix1.com, and that's spelled STRATEGIXONE.com. And you'll find Chris's bio there and information about the products and services they offer. And in addition, Chris offers three e-books and a couple of video trainings specifically for Twitter. One on how to build Twitter followers fast and efficiently, another one to semi-automating Twitter, and a third one on maximizing Twitter for your business. And these are some of the most least cost, high value trainings that I know of anywhere about Twitter and about these specific aspects of using it. And if you as a listener will visit twittercentral.net, which is my portal, our portal to all things Twitter on the web, and you look in the right-hand column where we have our links, you'll find the beginning of our recommended links section and Chris Voss's link to his Twitter trainings is there, and also the links to my trainings about effectively setting up your Twitter account to maximize it for business success, and also a four-month sequential delivery training and support program that we offer. You'll find that in the links as well. So we want to make sure that you get more than just information if you've been inspired and motivated about how important it is. And Chris and I both believe that it's more than important. It's actually essential and critical to be on the web right now, to be having a strategy that includes a website, which may or may not be a blog. If it's not a blog, then having a blog, perhaps a video presence of some sort or an audio presence, and then a social media presence as well, especially using Twitter and especially using Facebook, and then especially using some other social media sites to make it easier for those people who are interested in what you have to offer to learn about, find, and follow you. And I think to sum it up, Chris, the most important things that I've heard you say tonight is that Twitter is a tool that helps you implement your strategy to help you achieve your vision that's based on your business purpose, and that the primary use of Twitter as a tool is to build, maintain, and deepen quality relationships and to help people to know, like, and trust you. And so you want to build a following that is targeted to the greatest degree, made up of people who are especially interested in what your core message is. And you want to build that following as deep as you can with as many followers as possible. And you want to integrate that into other social media and web strategies. And finally, that on Twitter, you want to demonstrate your personality. You want to be humorous because people like humor. You want to tell stories because people love stories. You want to inform, inspire, and motivate. You want to be consistent, which is can be done not only by spending time on Twitter every day, but also by semi-automating those things that you can automate. And the things that you can't, you want to make sure to be doing, and that's the interpersonal interactions, responding to tweets, responding to at messages, responding to direct messages, retweeting, all the things that you need to actually be on Twitter to do for a little bit of time every day. You need to be building and monitoring your brand. You need to be creating your position in the marketplace. Just reading down through some of my notes here, Chris. You want to make sure that when you do your marketing tweets, and I recommend that marketing tweets be one somewhere between one out of every 10 to one out of every 20 that you do. When you do those, that you have a specific call to action. You let people know how it is they're going to benefit, what you want them to do, and a link that takes them to where you're going to actually do your next level of educating and marketing and promoting and selling away from Twitter, and Twitter is the vehicle for directing them to your products and services where they're going to get more and more of the value that you offer that can't be given in just 140 characters. So how did I do, Chris, in wrapping this up for you?
You were great. Thank you very much. You nailed it. Maybe I should have just had you summarize all my stuff because I wouldn't have to tell all those stories.
Well, I'll tell you what. We can talk about that after the call is over.
you did a great job. Thanks, Jay. It's been a pleasure to work with you on your project here and to help promote it. I hope your listeners really love it. I do have those two websites if people want to take a look at them, and I don't have any interest in these, so if you don't like them, don't hate me. One great searching mechanism that actually gives you a very fluid timeline, actually, as it emerges on Twitter, you can nail down topics down to just a single word or whatever interest you have. It's called tweettabs.com. That's tweettabs, just like a tab on your computer, tweettabs.com. You can actually enter in...
There's two T's in the middle of that, right?
There would be, yes.
Yes, tweettabs.com.
That's correct. Every day I try and profile three really cool Twitter apps for people, and I make a video showing them. This is one we profiled. And there's another one that's pretty cool, too, that I really like, and it's interactive with Google Maps, like I was talking about. It's called trendsmap.com. That's trends with an S plural at the end, map, trendsmap.com. And it actually gives you a lot of the trending topics that are literally going on in the world, and it's integrated with a Google map, and you can target stuff down to it. And then one other thing that I remembered, I don't know an exact website for it. I think there's a few different ones. The gentleman who asked about a restaurant, there are different restaurant talking about and review sites on the Internet. You'll have to just go ahead and Google it. You can find a lot of stuff that way. Or if you're just wanting to find stuff that's applicable to your individual industry, and whatever, if it's popular enough, there's probably an app for it. That's kind of the fun part.
Well, thank you so much. Well, Chris, it's time to end this AskTwitter.net session, so I'm going to do that by letting people know that I'm Jay Aaron, the founder of TwitterCentral.net and a network of Twitter-related websites, including AskTwitter.net, which I've created to help you use Twitter successfully as a highly effective business tool. And I'm also the creator of the Twitter Quick Start Guide for Entrepreneurs and Small Business. That's a training designed to help you set up and tweak your Twitter account for maximum business success, and also the Twitter Business Strategy Sequential Learning Training and Support Program. And today's featured guest for this AskTwitter.net Q&A session has been Twitter and social media expert Chris Voss, host of The Chris Voss Show and CEO of Strategics One Consulting. So please make sure to Google Chris Voss on the web. You'll find all of his relevant sites and services listed there. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Jay. And I want to thank your listeners for tuning in and you giving me the opportunity to come speak to you guys today.
Well, thank you so much. And for those of you who are listening, also please visit central.net, where you'll find a portal to all things Twitter. And you can ask more questions and listen to other expert featured guests by visiting asktwitter.net. I've enjoyed this presentation and learned something as well. I certainly did. I've learned a great deal, and I'm going to listen to this again, the recording. I hope that you do too as well. I wish you great success. Goodbye for now.